Time or anytime access at iworkforhim.com. Please call our listener line and leave us a question or suggestion about a topic you'd like covered on I Work For Him. 866-713-9675, 866-713-WORK, 866-713-9675.
Who do you work for?
You work for someone.
Are you just there for the paycheck?
Your clients, your boss, your family, your car payment, yourself, or your Lord?
What if God has more for you at your 9 to 5?
Each one of us has a calling. Have you heard this before? Your workplace is your mission field, wherever that may be. You're either all in or all out. Are you for Him?
Hey, Jim, who do you work for?
I work for Him. I work for Jesus Christ.
Welcome to I Work For Him. Join the I Work For Him Nation at iworkforhim.com. That's iwork4him.com. And now your hosts, Jim and Martha Brangenberg.
Broadcasting from the heart of the I Work For Him Nation, the Christ followers working in workplaces all over the United States, welcome to I Work For Him, the voice of the faith and work movement. We're on the air to help you understand that your workplace, it's your mission field, and the work that you do each and every day is a gift from God, and that God wants to join you in that work today. We're your hosts, Jim and Martha Brangenberg, and we're super glad you're with us.
We really are. So one of the things that I just love, and I just want to say to our listeners, is thank you for calling in, leaving messages, responding when we offer books, and just connecting with us, because it really means a lot when we just know that you're out there, because it's really hard for us to know otherwise.
Did you just say that like that? You did.
I did, okay. And I can get away with that.
Yes,
so
you can.
I just want to thank you, listeners, for those that have called in recently and or texted. That's hard to say when you're saying it, but I've had some great conversations with listeners just with where God has them in their work and how He's working in their hearts. And so just thank you for that and keep it up.
Speaking about calling in, we open up the phone lines. It's open all the time. The listener line, I Work For Him listener line, is available 24/7, 365, but in 2020, it'll be available 24/7, 366. The line number is 866-713-9675-866-713-WORK. We'd love for you to call in and ask questions about your workplace on how you can put your workplace, your faith into work in your workplace. And what's it look like? Maybe you've got a question on a specific situation. We got a couple we're going to deal with today. But how do I live out my work and live out my faith in my work? And I'm having a hard time getting that out today, but that's why the listener
line. This is really very simple. Just call 866-713-9675, 866-713-WORK. Leave us a message. Let us know a question you might have, a comment that you have, something that God's working on in your own life, and we'd love to share that with our listeners.
Absolutely. We've got another question from a listener who wrote the question in. No problem. All right. One of my co-workers always interrupts me and co-opts my ideas in meetings. What in the world do I do with this? Conflicts with co-workers are always a challenge. We're going to have conflicts. Even though we're Jesus followers, we're going to have conflicts.
Well, yeah, because this actually goes beyond conflicts. It's kind of like that, social etiquette, powerhouse, conversation, climbing the ladder. Who knows if these ideas that are kind of getting taken over, whether they are ideas that are supposed to lead to promotions or more sales or whatever it might be. But, those are hard things to know how to handle properly, because more than likely,
frustrating.
Well, but more than likely, you have to work with these people in an ongoing way. So how do you communicate your frustration and your need for integrity in this situation and still, have a good civil work environment? So
let's provide a solution.
Well, I thought you were going to be really funny and like try to interrupt me, because that's part of it.
No, I wasn't going to try to do that. All right. So, in my opinion, so this is Jim talking, because this is probably me that does this more often, because I interrupt people because I get so excited with ideas that are in my head. The first thing to do is to go to the person and say, listen, Jim, did you know that you interrupt me in meetings all the time? And then a lot of times I have an idea and you kind of like take my idea and make it like yours. It really hurts my feelings. Can we talk about that? I mean, you try it the nice way first.
Most definitely.
And then the second time they keep doing it, blow their chair up.
Oh, I don't think that's the right answer.
But you know, but first talk to them really, really nicely, and then the next time maybe really draw attention to it. You know, maybe take a short video of it during your next meeting, and again, so say maybe you could figure out what it was the first time here. This is what I was talking about. Can we work on this? Because this is really frustrating me. I mean, a lot of times people like that just need words of affirmation and they're the need to feel wanted.
Yeah, you know, I think you're exactly right that we need to find out what it is that they're struggling with, because maybe it's that they need to feel wanted. Maybe they don't feel like they're being heard and that they need to be the biggest person in the room. Who knows what it is, but trying to find out what it is that's lacking or that's causing that behavior, if you can. I mean, we're not all analysts or whatever, but it's, you know, it's just being a good coworker and having those conversations, Jim.
We're always going to have people in our lives that frustrate us, because if we didn't, our humility would disappear and our pride would explode. We need people like this in our lives to keep us humble. So really important to understand. Let's talk about the marriage retreat cruise that we're doing in February, because we're super excited about that. And it's just now time to get people started. Right now the kids are back in school. They can start thinking about winter.
Yes. So now is a great time to start planning out what you're going to do. I'm sure a lot of people plan out what they're doing the rest of the school year. They know what the schedules are. They know what sports their kids are going to be in, whatever it might be. And end of February, beginning of March, we have a long weekend getaway for married couples to, it's called Cruise Your Way to a Better Marriage. And this is just a fun opportunity to get away with 20, 25 other couples on a ship. No, we don't have the whole ship to ourselves, but we have a great group. We have a room that we meet in. We have some sessions. We just really get to strengthen our marriages. And that is coming up February 27th through March 2nd. They can find all that information. You all can find that information on iworkforhim.com on our events page. You'll see all the information regarding the cruise and a link to go look at the boat, to find out the itinerary, and to ultimately register. So we would love for you to join us. Consider it.
Yeah, and we've got listeners. We've had listeners from all over the country come and join us on this. And so we try to keep it as reasonable as possible. The retreat itself is literally only $150. The rest of it is all the cruise. But you get 5 days of being pampered. Somebody else does your laundry. Somebody else does your making your bed. Somebody else does all the cooking
and cleaning.
Yeah, I mean, it's just an amazing time. And then you work on your marriage. No kids, no internet, no cell phone. You get to work on your marriage with your spouse. And we just do that as a courtesy. It's good for us and it's good for you. And so check it out online on iworkforhim.com under our events tab. And Martha, speaking of other events, we've got another event in October.
We do, Jim.
So here in Tampa Bay.
We are doing a local land marriage retreat, just an afternoon evening in Tampa, North Tampa, Dade City, October 5th. So check your calendar. That event registration should be live on our website later today. Actually, it's probably already live now because I've been working on it and I'm getting everything tweaked a little bit, so I've been checking it out. But you can go there and register. It's only $25 per couple. It'll be an afternoon of some marriage sessions to strengthen your marriage, dinner, s'mores in the dark, and that will be a lot of fun. So for our local friends, this is a great opportunity for you to bring some other couples with you, make it an adventure, and you know, bring a carload.
We can accommodate up to 100 people for it. So it'll be fantastic. Now, why does I Work For Him do marriage retreats? Here's the deal. As Christ followers, our marriages are supposed to be a light to the community. But our marriages need work just like anybody else's marriages needs work. And so if your marriage is a mess, when you go to work, people know, because it impacts everything you do. So we want to work on marriages because we need to work on our own. And we want to help others just to learn from the things we've made mistakes from and found great resources that we've done radio shows and met incredible people. We just want to share it, because strong marriages build strong families. Strong families build strong the body of Christ, strong churches, and strong churches build strong communities. Strong communities build a great country. And
yeah,
Martha's shaking
her head. I'm sure they got all that.
Really? Well, here's the bottom line. Go to iworkforhim.com, click on the events tab, sign up today for our October 5th Dade City retreat.
You know, and I just want to say, you keep saying the word work on your marriage, but this is really just about strengthening it. You work out every day, maybe. So this is an opportunity to strengthen your marriage.
When we come back, you're going to hear from Keith Robinson, science fiction public school music teacher. We'll be right back.
God calls you to impact others for Christ and provide leadership in the workplace. But what does that look like in real time? Find out at the Work Matters Leadership Ignited Conference, October 11th at Calvary Church Seminole. Speakers include Chick-fil-A CEO Dan Caffey and Nona Jones, leader of faith-based partnerships at Facebook, who will help fan into flame the passion for godly leadership you've been created for. Sign up today for the Leadership Ignited Conference at workmatters.org/conference. And if you're a business owner, consider sponsoring your entire staff. Imagine the impact of a whole organization fired up to share Christ in the marketplace. Don't miss the Work Matters Leadership Ignited Conference, October 11th. Doors open for registration at 8:30, and the event takes place from 9 to 4 at Calvary Church Seminole. Registration's only $25, so sign up today at workmatters.org/conference under Livestream at Calvary Church Seminole. That's workmatters.org/conference. See you there.
How would you like to own your own business and honor and glorify God within that business? Office Pride Commercial Cleaning Systems, an award-winning faith-based commercial cleaning franchise system, has been around for 27 years and is now offering franchises in the I Work For Him listener area. If you'd like to know how you can participate in this faith-based business culture while being a 100% owner of your own growing franchise, visit Office Pride today at officepridefranchise.com or call 850-291-0724. Office Pride has proven systems that will teach you everything you need to know about the commercial cleaning industry and how to scale a business within that industry. Office Pride is looking for business builders like you. To check out this amazing opportunity, visit officepridefranchise.com. That's officepridefranchise.com or call 850-291-0724. Office Pride, their values make them different. officepridefranchise.com.
Welcome to the I Work For Him Radio Power Thought for the day. I'm Jim Brangenberg, host of the I Work For Him Radio program, heard 5 days a week. What's more stressful than raising kids? How about raising adult children? There doesn't seem to be much out there that takes this season of life head on. Martha and I came to the conclusion that we could do two things that work the best. Pray for our adult children and ask them good questions. I'm not so good at that part. If they're adults, we have to treat them like adults and shift from telling them what to do to coming alongside, trusting and encouraging their ability to think and make wise decisions. Too many of us parents today are making the nest too comfortable so the kids don't want to leave. Who can blame them? We have to seek God's will and our own hearts to ensure we're not enabling irresponsibility or dependency, and trust God with their lives. He has them, and He has a plan for them. For more about I Work For Him and how you can listen every day to Christ followers just like you who are living out their faith in their work, go to iworkforhim.com. That's iwork4him.com. Broadcasting from the heart of the I Work For Him Nation, welcome to I Work For Him, the voice of the faith and work movement. We're so excited that you tuned in today. Just recognize this. Your workplace, it's your mission field. And in that mission field, you and me, we may be the only Jesus our coworkers, our employees, our bosses may ever meet. The job that you hold, the work that you do, and the people that you work with, none of that is by chance. The people that you work with, they need to meet Jesus, and you may be their only chance. Super excited to have you listen to I Work For Him today. Martha, how can they get in touch with us online?
Online, they can go to iworkforhim.com. So that is our website, and we have a contact page. So if that is your preferred method, please don't do it while you're driving. But later on, or if you're at a stop, or you are somewhere other than driving your vehicle, iworkforhim.com is our website, Jim. And, you know, it's just all about connections, and we have a lot of resources and things available to people. They just have to take that initiative and get out there on the website.
Absolutely. So today we're going to go in a couple of different directions, living out our faith in public school as a music educator, and then switching over to learning how to defend our faith, and finally to the arts, writing science fiction books. Sounds like a lot, but Keith Robinson is the one man who's living the dream by living out his faith as a public school music teacher who writes apologetic science fiction. Wow. Arts and education. Two places the body of Christ has shied away from, but two places where the truth of Jesus desperately needs to permeate these mountains of influence in our culture. Keith Robinson ties this all together for us right here in I Work For Him. Keith Robinson, welcome to I Work For Him.
Thanks for having me on. It's an honor.
Yeah, Martha and I are super excited to have you, Keith. And we do this with every guest. Tell us, how did you become a Jesus follower?
I was raised in a Christian home, but it wasn't really until I was a junior in college that I really gave Jesus lordship of my life. Now, again, I was raised in a Christian home, so I had a good moral upbringing, but, you know, things happened in high school and in college, and it really, I came to a crisis point, or came to a point where I was attending a Bible study at school, and the man running the Bible study, he said, what are your priorities like? Where is Jesus in your priority list? And I really got to realizing that he was four or five on the list, that, you know, my school and other things were taking precedent. And so I decided at that point, I'm like, no, I'm going to make him first in my life, because I had a foundation that I knew that he should be first. And so then at that point, I kind of made a decision to, you know, let him sit in the driver's seat, so to speak, and that I would just follow wherever he leads. So.
That's awesome. Thanks for sharing that. And, you know, a lot of people know that in college, it's a critical time to be making some of those decisions and really knowing where your faith comes from. And I'm sure that you're very thankful that that happened in your own life. So,
absolutely.
In order for us to get up to speed on what you do in your day to day, were you studying to be a teacher in college?
I was. When I was younger, I showed an affinity for music, and I really loved the sound of string instruments. And I know, don't hold this against me, but I ended up choosing the viola, not the violin. For those who might not be sure of what the difference is, the viola is the alto instrument, whereas the violin is the soprano. And so it's played the same way. It's under your chin, but the viola is a little bit larger and has a deeper sound. So, and there's a lot of bad viola jokes out there that pick on violas. So I'm just saying, a lot of people.
Well, the national director from the Viola Club just called and was really offended by your comments. No, I'm just kidding.
I'm just saying what the general perception is. I'm not saying it's true.
Okay.
But anyway, so I started playing viola when I was younger, originally in second grade, and then later we moved to a school system that started in fourth grade. And so as I was in high school, I really was wanting to be a professional violist. And I actually auditioned for a school that I ended up attending, which was Northern Illinois University, but I was told I wasn't good enough to be a professional, that I just didn't have the core skills I needed. And my parents convinced me to go into education instead, and it was one of the best decisions I'd ever made, because I realized shortly after getting involved in the education side of things that it really was what I wanted to do, and what I found that I was good at was teaching the younger students how to play instruments and things like that. And so I went into music education, and shortly after college, I became a general music teacher for a few years until I found an orchestral position. And so that's kind of where I went from there. And then the beautiful thing is that as a teacher, I am a professional violist, and I play in professional symphonies, but it's not my day job, and I don't have to rely on traveling all over the place to play in different orchestras to make ends meet. I have a day job,
right,
and I get to play in orchestras for fun, which is great.
That's awesome.
So talk to us about your public school mission field. What's it? We know that public school, I mean, first of all, public schools get a bad rap. Well, we know there's amazing teachers across the country who love Jesus, who are planted on the mission field of the public school. What's your mission field like?
Well, and I absolutely love the way you said that, because that is the truth. That, first of all, the vast majority of teachers that I know are just the the best, the most wonderful people you'd ever meet. Now, many of them are Christians in the public schools, but there are many that are not Christians, but they are still just wonderful, wonderful people. And I've really enjoyed, first of all, I really enjoy the fact that I'm a music teacher. I don't know that I would make it as a classroom, regular education teacher. There's just the kids nowadays are so hard to work with, and just their home lives and just things like that. But yeah, so there's so many wonderful, wonderful people in the public schools, and many of them are Christians. And even those that are not are they're very intelligent people because they're the teachers. And so they understand, I think, a little bit better about how to have dialogue and to discuss things, even if you disagree on issues. Even recently, I've started befriending many of these teachers that I work with on Facebook, and that has actually revealed a lot to me about what they believe and things like that. And some of them, we are completely opposite politically and religiously and things like that, but they are still willing to have conversations with me, and I've actually feel a calling to have some of these conversations with them on Facebook, because it is very difficult to have those kind of deep conversations at school.
So Keith, I want to bring up the fact that, you know, when Jim asked you this, the question about your mission field in the public school, I love that you went to who your coworkers are, because a lot of people think about just the students, the teacher student relationship, and you are seen very specifically, you know, a role there within your peer group and with the other teachers. I know for me, my music teacher, actually all growing up, I have several of them in my life that have been very special to me, and I am curious, as a public school music teacher, how are you able to live out your faith in your work?
Yeah, now see, I'm glad you mentioned that too, because it is a whole other ballgame. I cannot, it's very difficult, if not impossible, to really discuss any kind of, you know, you can't really witness to your students. That's not, won't be in your job for very long if you do that. Now, I was a high school teacher for 10 years. And right now I'm currently teaching elementary and middle school orchestra. But when I was at the high school, I did get into some discussions with students just about topics. And one of the things I always told them is, don't just believe what you're told. Do some research on it. Do your own research. Don't just believe what other people tell you. You have to ask questions. And I would try to get them to at least think through some of the heavier issues of life. You know, what do you believe is going to happen when you die? I'm not telling you what to believe. I'm just saying this is a question that you should consider. That it's, and frankly, it's one of the most important questions you can ask in life, is what do you believe is going to happen when you die? And how you answer that question is going to determine how you live your life. And so I would use questions like that to get the students to think about these issues. Now that I'm more middle school and elementary, I really feel like it's my example that is going to make the most impact, and I believe I am making that impact on them, because I am someone that they know they can trust, that I'm someone who will never treat them disrespectfully, because that's part of who I am. That's my calling. I go by the motto of there's never a good reason to be unkind to someone. You can be angry, you can be upset, but there's not a good reason to be unkind. And so I tell that to them. I try to give them lots of those kind of quotes, and to try to make that impact on them as just where they see my character. That's what I guess I would say.
When we come back, we're going to ask Keith Robinson this question. How, as a music teacher and as a writer, do you get a chance to build truth into your day-to-day? Because music moves the soul, and truth moves the soul. How does Keith intertwine both of them as a public school music teacher? You listen to I Work For Him with your host, Jim and Martha Brangenberg. We'll be right back with lots more from Keith A. Robinson. Check him out online, apologeticsfiction.com. Hi, I'm Jim Brangenberg. Martha and I want to thank you for tuning in to I Work For Him, Your Workplace Is Your Mission Field radio program.
Will you take the challenge to look at your workplace as your mission field? Then we invite you to join the I Work For Him Nation today.
Consider joining the I Work For Him Nation and watch your workplace transformed by the power of God working through you. Members of the I Work For Him Nation do these things on a daily basis. Start praying for your coworkers and employees by name each and every day. Look for ways to serve those coworkers and employees in the workplace over and above what your job requires. Look for ways to befriend your coworkers or employees outside of the workplace. Be ready to pray with people in the workplace when you see an opportunity, when you see them just a little downcast. But all along, be the best and the brightest example of an employee in your position, a person who seeks and displays excellence all day long.
When you join, we'll send you an I Work For Him Nation covenant for you to post in your workplace to remind you of your high calling at work. We invite you to also extend an invitation to your friends, relatives, acquaintances, neighbors, and coworkers to do the same.
I Work For Him is on a mission to transform the workplaces in every state in the United States for Christ. We interview people from all across our beautiful country to provide the best interviews that highlight Jesus followers trying to figure out how to live out their faith in their work. As you can imagine, producing I Work For Him takes a great deal of time, energy, and financial resources. Become one of 367 and join our fundraising campaign partners and help I Work For Him reach every state in the nation with the message that our work matters to God and our workplace is our mission field. Consider also giving a gift of $25 or more to our ministry, and we'll send you 10 customized I Work For Him Gospels of John. Your donation will enable us to continue our radio program in your area. To join the nation now or donate, go to iworkforhim.com. That's iwork, the number four, him.com. And click on the Donate tab.
Now let's get back to I Work For Him.
Yeah, let's get back to I Work For Him. There's all kinds of really cool stuff coming up. Don't miss this. Don't go away. Don't go away. iworkforhim.com.
Come on, Jim. Let's get back to the show.
With SRN News, I'm Keith Peters in Washington. The government will be able to hold immigrant children detained at the Mexican border for a longer period of time under a move by the Trump administration. Before now, parents and children caught trying to come into the country have been released while their asylum cases wind through the courts, a system President Trump has called catch and release. A court challenge is expected. President Trump says he scrapped his trip to Denmark because the prime minister made a nasty statement when she rejected his idea to buy Greenland as an absurdity. Mr. Trump says, "You don't talk to the United States that way, at least under me." Danish Prime Minister Mette Frederiksen called the whole thing an absurd discussion and said she was disappointed and surprised that Mr. Trump had canceled his visit. On Wall Street, the Dow by 240 points, the NASDAQ rose 71, the S&P advanced 24, oil down to $55.68 a barrel. This is SRN News.
Jacksonville.radio News, I'm Nikki Whaley. One person is dead, another injured in what police believe to be a double shooting Tuesday afternoon outside of an Oak Hill area apartment complex. Police received the call shortly before 4 p.m. to a complex on Morse Avenue just east of I-295. There they found a man who had been shot. Officers received a call from a hospital about a man being treated for a gunshot wound. Now, the man at the apartment died at the scene. The man in the hospital's condition is unknown. Clay County Sheriff Daryl Daniels held a public meeting last night in Middleburg to explain his budget request. He needs $68 million, which is $10 million more than the current year's budget. He says his department needs the extra money to hire more deputies, and even with the amount he wants, they still won't be fully staffed. Daniel says he's also working on ways to lower his budget request, but it still will be higher than his current budget. That's Jacksonville.radio News.
Please call our listener line and leave us a question or suggestion about a topic you'd like covered on I Work For Him. 866-713-9675, 866-713-WORK, 866-713-9675. Welcome back to I Work For Him. Fun day, because we finally get to get into a couple of other mountains of influence in our culture that we don't get into very often, the arts and education. And we need to do more of this, Martha. We have to work on this more. We're talking today with Keith Robinson. I'm not going to tell you which part of the country he's from, because he's a public school music teacher and he's sharing his testimony. And in certain areas of the country, that could get him in trouble. So we're going to leave it as he's just a great writer and a public school music teacher. Keith, music moves the soul. I mean, God designed music to move us, and we know that music is super influential in our society. How do you build in truth into your classroom as you teach music? How do you get a chance to build that in?
Well, I think I would kind of just piggyback off of what I was just saying before the break, and that is that just my character and my personality and just really trying to hold a high standard for my students of morality and of care for each other. The beautiful thing about music, especially orchestra, is that the students work as a team to create this beautiful music. And so there is a sense of family in the group that everyone is important, everyone's part of the whole. And so I try to play off that. Again, I try to bring up as much as possible general quotes or general, like I said in the last segment, you know, statements of truth, such as there's never a good reason to be unkind, trying to talk to them about, you know, the value of doing hard work to achieve a skill and to achieve a goal, and that we can use our talents and abilities to bring joy to others through playing beautiful music. And so we talk about all that, you know, and it's more of sprinkling. It's very similar to what I do with my novels, actually. I'm sprinkling truth into the course of the day-to-day classroom activities.
Now, when you choose the music that they play, do you choose some of those old great hymns that are often played by orchestras that have incredible messages? Do you get to choose music that maybe you're only learning the music, but if they went and sought out the song, they could read the words?
Not as much. There was one time when I was at the high school level, I was also doing band in addition to orchestra, and there's a great piece called On a Hymn Song of Philip Bliss, I believe is the title of the band composition. And it was really, it was a band arrangement. Philip Bliss was the composer of the hymn, It Is Well With My Soul.
Hmm.
And so we performed that piece. And of course, you can't perform that piece without then talking to the students about the hymn. And I told them the backstory, which I'm not sure if you know what the backstory is. It is well. Do you know the backstory to It Is Well With My Soul?
I do know the backstory to It Is Well With My Soul. And I'd like today for us just to let people go out to Wikipedia and look that up, because I got some more questions for you on air.
Sure. It's a phenomenal story. It would be worth their time. So.
All right. So let's talk about your writing, because you're a gifted writer, too. And ladies and gentlemen, I work for him. Listeners, here's how I know that. Well, so Keith reached out to me. We got connected somehow on the internet, on the galactic interweb, as we may call it. And he goes, I love to write apologetic science fiction. I'm like, I love science fiction. In fact, when I donated my kidney last year, Keith, a neighbor of mine gave me $125 gift card to Christian Book Distributors so I could buy as much Christian science fiction as I could on Christian Book Distributors. So, and I was almost out of it when you sent stuff to me. So I love it. I read it all the time. And so I can tell you that you're a gifted writer, because I read 30 to 80 books a year, and yours are good books. So talk to me about it. When did you find out that you were a writer?
Well, that's an interesting story. I'll try to give you the short version. I was, after college, I was working as a general music teacher, and at my church, I had a friend who was running the college and career group, and he had just got his license to become a pastor, and he asked me to be his music pastor. And so I agreed, and I, in addition to my day job teaching general music, I became a music pastor at a church. And then as time went on, he asked me to run a Sunday school class teaching adults on apologetics. And so I started doing that. And, of course, I'm learning as I go along. And I was just fascinated by some of the apologetic stuff I was learning about creation and evolution and that kind of thing. And so at the time, the Left Behind series was very popular. And I said, man, if somebody were to do with creation evolution stuff what they did with the Left Behind series, which is mainly just taking their view of end times prophecy and putting it into sci-fi action adventure novels, I'm right. Like, that would be a fascinating thing. And so I got an idea to create kind of a what if story. If evolution were really true, what would it really look like? Because I don't think what we see on Earth is what it would look like. And so that was the starting point for Logic's End, which is my first novel. And I just tried my hand. I've been an avid reader my whole life. And I, like you said, I was, I was into sci-fi and fantasy, you know, into Star Wars and Star Trek and Narnia and Lord of the Rings and things like that. And
which is your favorite series? Wait a minute, you forgot to mention Matrix. You didn't put the Matrix in there.
Stargate, yeah, you know, all that stuff.
Which one was your favorite series? I mean, which one?
The original Star Wars, I think, the original trilogy really impacted me greatly because I was, you know, at the age where I got to see them in the theaters and I was young and it was just the most incredible thing I'd seen. As I got older, of course, I got to appreciate Lord of the Rings much more and things like that. So
talk to me about you and your latest book. You tie together your love of music and science fiction and apologetics. How on God's green earth did you put all three of those together in a book?
Very, very carefully. So, I have two other series. I have my Origins trilogy that's about creation and evolution, and then I have the Tartarus Chronicles, which is a four-book series about world religions. And as I was finishing up Tartarus Chronicles, I had an idea. I just started realizing how the major scale of music actually kind of matches a principle about God, in that, you know, in music, there's the last note of a song is usually the same note as the key that you're in. So if you're in C major, the last note is a C. And that's what's called the tonic. It is the foundation. It's the home base, so to speak, of music. And I'm like, you know, in many ways, God is like our tonic. He's like the foundation of the foundation of the scale that everything else is built upon. And all of a sudden I started realizing that that would be a really cool foundation for a universe, for a world. And I started realizing that in ancient music, in the medieval times, the interval, which is the distance between two notes, the interval of a tritone, which would be like a C to an F sharp on the piano, it was called the devil's interval. And I'm like, whoa, what if the bad guy, you know, this satanic figure or whatever, this devil figure would be based on the tritone and then God is the tonic. And next thing you know, I start getting this whole idea for a universe. Well, then I decided, well, I can't just, my passion is I don't want to just entertain with my novels. I want people to, when they're reading my books, to go, I never thought of that before, or give them something to think about or strengthen their faith through my novels. And so if you're creating another universe, like, let's say, Narnia, but even Narnia, he could do things with Narnia that you can't do with, like, Lord of the Rings, because in Narnia, the children were from Earth, and so he could refer to things from Earth. But in Middle Earth or in Star Wars, let's say, you know, I mean, there's no connection to Earth. Well, I guess Middle Earth, they kind of say it was the, you know, medieval times or something. But you know what I'm saying? If it's another universe, if it's another galaxy like Star Wars, there's no connection to Earth. You can't really talk about Jesus, per se, in the Bible. So I had to create a Christian-like religion that was the equivalent of Christianity. And so anyway, so I talk about, why does God allow suffering? Because that is one of the big questions that people ask, and that's something I can incorporate into another universe. So
people can get your books if this is intriguing to them at all, or they know somebody who really has a love for reading science fiction and wants a new and fresh approach. They can go to apologeticsfiction.com. That's apologeticsfiction.com. And there they can see all of the options that you have out there. Right, Keith Robinson?
Absolutely. My books are also available on Amazon, but if you go to my website, it's kind of a one-stop shopping. So you have all of my books, all of my titles are right there. So
that's
another
fabulous
free plug for Amazon right here, and I work for him. Okay.
But that's okay, because it's ultimately we're promoting this opportunity for people to really use fiction in order to strengthen their faith.
Apologeticsfiction.com, apologeticsfiction.com. So apologetics. So I got to read the first of your the first book of your trilogy, the Origins trilogy, Logics, and I got to read that. And I'm halfway into the next one, which is something pyramid. Pyramid of the Ancients. What I loved in Logics End, you tied into the story a conversation about religion, abortion, evolution, the flood, the dating of fossils, creations and a creator, moral authority and the moral code written in our hearts. And you did it in a story that was riveting to the absolute okay, maybe not the post log, but everything right up to that. I mean, it was unbelievable. I mean, whatever gave you the idea that, I mean, to do all that in one story?
Well, honestly, when I plot out my books, and I do plot out my books, there are some people that kind of let the plot unfold, but I have to know what's going to be at the end because of the apologetics, especially. So I kind of write two books simultaneously where I get a general idea for a plot, and then I do all my research and I figure out what main apologetics points do I want to put into the books. And then I try to figure out, based on my generic plot, how could I best show this? Because I try to do more showing, if I can, instead of just telling. Because one of the big things, there are others out there who've tried to do similar things to what I've done with my books, and some of them are they're just not done well because they try to do a lot of telling instead of showing. And so that's one of the things I try to do. I also try to sprinkle the apologetics into the storyline so it's not overwhelming. It's not like some of the books I've read that are like story, 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 apologetics for a couple chapters, and then story, 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 story.
Right.
Right.
And I try to do a couple of pages of apologetics here and there. And again,
it was woven expertly into the story. We're talking with Keith Robinson, and you can find out more about him online, apologeticsfiction.com, apologeticsfiction.com. For those of you listening to our affiliates that play our 30-minute program, be sure to head out to iworkforhim.com to get the rest of the program and more conversation we have with Keith Robinson. For the rest of you, stay tuned as we talk more about apologetics and fiction and writing, all being done by a public school music teacher. This is for you, because you could do it too. You listen to I Work For Him. We'll be right back.
As an apartment management professional, wouldn't you like to increase revenue without raising rent? Installing individual unit water meters allows for direct billing of residents and creates a revenue recapture strategy that adds to your bottom line without increasing rent. It also lowers consumption 20 to 40%. Think Utility Services has been in business since 1957 and has helped property management companies increase profit for over 50 years. Find out how today. Call 888-MY-METER or visit Think Utility Services.
Would you ever own an abortion clinic? Would you own a business that profits from pornography? Did you know that there's a chance these types of businesses may be found throughout your investment or retirement accounts? Call Luke and Dave with Bel Air Wealth Management today. They specialize in biblically responsible investing options and can align your investment and retirement accounts with God's values. Call Luke and Dave at 727-798-4188. That's 727-798-4188. Online at bwmadvisors.com.
Condo fees always increasing? Think Utility Services can help your community stabilize the annual budget and dramatically lower costs. By installing individual unit water meters and only charging residents for the water they consume, your community can decrease water consumption by 20 to 40%. Think Utility Services has been helping condo communities save on utility costs for over 20 years. Call 888-MY-METER today. Learn more at thinkutilityservices.com. That's thinkutilityservices.com.
Luke and Dave with Bel Air Wealth Management are longtime supporters of I Work For Him and have a passion for sharing biblically responsible investing with the I Work For Him nation. Have you ever considered that your investment portfolio contains businesses that turn a profit by working in direct opposition to God's Word? Call Luke and Dave at Bel Air Wealth Management at 727-798-4188. That's 727-798-4188. And find out if your investment or retirement portfolio aligns with God's heart.
Welcome back to I Work For Him. We're tackling lots of different things today, but really excited to do so. We've got Keith Robinson on the line today. He's a public school music teacher up there in the upper Midwest somewhere, and he's also a musician, and he plays in orchestras, and he writes, but he doesn't just write, he writes science fiction. He doesn't just write science fiction, he writes science fiction with apologetics built into the story, not as a lecture, but as a real lesson. And he writes apologetics science fiction with music in it. Keith Robinson, It must be exhausting to be you.
Yeah, sometimes.
You know, I was thinking about that when you were saying that you plot out your books. Well, if you're going to create a universe, I would imagine there's a lot of plotting out that has to happen. Because, I mean, God has gifted you with the ability to think of things that, of course, the reader gets to enjoy and benefit from. But you do a lot of background to get to that point. So I'm excited that our listeners are getting to hear about this, Jim, and maybe pick up a couple of his books at apologeticsfiction.com.
So, Keith, here's a question. You're writing Christian fiction, which all that means is that it's clean, it's got purpose, it's got meaning, it's got truth interspersed in it. It's science fiction, otherworldly science fiction. It's apologetics, otherworldly science fiction with music in it. At least your latest one does. Have you had a problem? That's all you do. I mean, it's just a simple little thing. Have you had a hard time getting mainstream publishers to grab onto you because you touch on all those things?
Well, real quick, I want to comment on something Martha said. It took me about 7 months to plan out just the universe for my newest novel, Prelude and Abduction, and to do all the plotting for the whole trilogy and all of that stuff. So, yeah, it is very time-consuming. So before I even wrote the first sentence of the first book, I spent 7 months working on all that. So it was fun.
Wow.
So wait a minute. Now, are you married, Keith?
I am, yes.
Do you have kids?
I have, between my wife and I, we have 5 teenagers right now.
We have
5 kids. We have a 23-year-old autistic daughter. And then my wife's oldest son is out of the house. So,
okay.
And then
so
we
you're
have,
busy. I think.
Yeah. Well, honestly, now that they're teenagers, I have more time to write and everything because they're all working. So
that's true.
I just was like, how do you protect your family from your writing career? I mean, there's a lot going on there between writing and music. Okay. Let's go back onto this. So have you had a hard time getting a publisher to grab onto you and say, I love what you're doing?
Well, yes and no. I mean, it's hard for anybody to get a publisher nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's so hard to... It's kind of a catch-22. You have to be published in order for a publisher to take a look at you. And so it's one of those things. Now, the wonderful thing is the self-publishing world is really growing. And I started off with partnership publishing, where I paid a publishing house to publish my first trilogy. And it was quite expensive. But I have made all my money back from that initial endeavor, and I learned so much from the first trilogy and even my second series was all partnership publishing as well. But my newest novel, which I actually think is some of the best quality of my work, is all self-published. That I've over the years, I've developed a team of people. I've got my editors, and I've got my layout person. I've got the absolutely phenomenal cover artist. And so I can produce a great work of art, and I have the full control over everything. So it's kind of, at this point, I'm kind of other than the promotional aspect of it, I'm like, I don't want a publisher.
You know, it's so fun to see behind the curtain of what might go into this process and how very intentional you're being. So, Keith, one thing I want to bring up is I was in Christian retail for a decade, and I loved selling fiction because I feel like it's such a great way to introduce people to new biblical ideas without them feeling like they're sitting down and learning. I want our listeners to hear from your heart how they could look at your books, either for themselves or for someone in their lives intentionally. What is your dream for people that pick up your book, and what can our listeners do to maybe, help fulfill that?
Great question. I've been doing this now for 12 years. My first one was published 12 years ago. Mm-hmm. And in that time, I've had so many young people come up to me and parents come up to me because I sell a lot at homeschool conventions. And they have told me, I've had a young man just last month who told me, yeah, I've read all of your books, he said, and your books have shaped my theology. And I've had so many young people tell me, oh, yeah, your books have really strengthened my faith. And parents just come to me and they're like, we've read the books with our teenagers and with our children, and we've used them for family discussion times. And there's so much meat in your books. But at the same time, they tell me, my kids have read your books multiple times. They'll take the same book and read it over and over and find new things in it each time. And so it just is the kind of encouragement that keeps me going, that that families out there are and young people are having their faith strengthened because they read my books. And that's, I'm just so honored to that God is using me for that purpose.
But the books aren't just for teenagers, right? I mean, I know that my husband is not a teenager.
What are you saying? She just called me old on the air. I can't believe you did that. No, I'm 53, but I've been reading science fiction since I had a librarian in sixth grade said, Jim, maybe you'd like reading science fiction. And she introduced me to a couple of science fiction writers back in the 70s, Ben Bova and a couple of others. And I'm like, I really like this. And I have then, of course, morphed into just loving all kinds of Christian fiction for the last 40 years. But really, I love the fact that you can teach without it feeling preachy. Yep. You know, look, for instance, in Origins, in the Origins trilogy, Logic's End, the first book, Rebecca is she's the number one character in this series. Mm-hmm. She makes a statement. She wrestles with the non-value of life in the story. And she just goes in, she's saying this, well, she's kind of arguing in her own head. Life is but an accident, a mixing of uncaring, impersonal, unintelligent chemicals. What's one lifetime when compared to the history of the universe? Life is worthless, disposable. Power to the strong and intelligent, death to the weak and stupid. But what she's really wrestling with is, but that doesn't seem right.
One of the ways that I bring about a lot of this stuff is I try to show the cognitive dissonance within the evolutionary perspective and worldview is where they want some of the morality that Christianity provides, but they have no logical foundation or basis for that within their own worldview. And so I try to show that by having Rebecca wrestle with a lot of these issues that she comes across on this planet where supposedly evolution really happened. And so that's kind of the mechanism I use to get the reader to think through some of these things.
Have you done any discussion guides on your books?
Yeah, actually, my first trilogy, the Origins trilogy, I had a couple of homeschool moms help me to write some discussion guides that are available on my website for free download.
Excellent. Oh, that might be a wonderful thing. People having a book club, this might be a great way to take it to the next level.
It's a great series. What I love best is your argument against evolution. Well, if evolution is really true, then life has no value because it happened by accident. So therefore, it makes sense to just kill even your own offspring because you don't value anything in life. You don't value anybody's life because it's just an accident. And what a powerful statement, because you'll find in today's arguments, people like to argue both sides of that. And Keith, you did an excellent job addressing it. Okay, I want to ask this last question. We've got a lot of people listening who are writers, who are teachers, who are musicians. And yet a lot of them feel like, well, I just wish I could quit my job and go do something more significant in the kingdom. Keith, tell them what they're doing is significant.
Oh, absolutely. I can't. Again, I've been a public school teacher now for 20 years or more. I don't know the exact number, but I've had so many people come to me that the beauty of being a teacher is not necessarily the daily grind and just the constant interaction, but it's the years later when you talk to former students who come back and tell you the impact you had on their lives. And by our very examples, just what we do and say, and showing Christ to these people, even though I can't witness to them, they know that there's something different there. They see it in my actions and in my words. And many times as they get older, they'll come back, and then when they talk to you, if they're adults later, then you can start talking to them and you can tell them about the hope that's within you. So it's my passion and calling, and everything we do, no matter where God has you planted, there's so much that he can accomplish through just your example, even if you can't preach the gospel.
Keith A. Robinson with ApologeticsFiction.com. Thanks for being on I Work For Him today. Thanks for sharing your stories, your music, your teaching. Thank you for being on I Work For Him today.
Yes.
Again, it was my honor. Thank you so much for having me on.
Please check out Keith online, ApologeticsFiction.com. I recommend this highly. If you love to read and you love fiction, you are going to love these series, ApologeticsFiction.com. And believe me, I read a lot. ApologeticsFiction.com. You've been listening to I Work For Him with your host, Jim and Martha Brangenberg. We're Christ followers. Our workplace, it's our mission field, but ultimately, I work for him.
America's First News with Gordon Deal at 5 a.m., Hugh Hewitt at 6, Del Wamsley at noon, Dave Ramsey at 2, and Larry Elder at 6 p.m. This is Talk 100.3.
I'm Clayton Bromberg, the president of Underwoods. While we've earned the reputation as North Florida and South Georgia's preeminent official Rolex jeweler, it's important to point out that at Underwoods we carry other watches too. We start with Seiko, the most reliable and serviceable watch made for under $500. Next we have Tavon, the Swiss-made ladies and men's and dress and sport watches, starting at $450. We also carry the Swiss watch Raymond Weil in ladies, men's, and men's sport watches, and they start at $600. If it's a ladies' diamond fashion watch, you need to look at Michelle. They start at $525. Another name we carry is Tudor, inspired by Rolex with the same founder and owner. And their sport watches and chronographs are the rage in Swiss timekeeping. And they're priced from $2,000 to $5,000. So if you're interested in watches, we have what you want at Underwoods. And all of our watches carry a five-year warranty. At Underwoods, San Marco, Avondale, or the Shops of Ponte Vedra.
Does your basement or crawl space have a damp, musty smell? Well, watch out. That's a sign of too much moisture and not enough ventilation. And that can mean increased mold growth and the buildup of harmful toxins and gases. Don't bother with a dehumidifier. It just circulates the same unhealthy air. Get the Wave Ventilation Unit. It will transform your home into a drier, healthier environment. Satisfaction guaranteed. Call 1-888-964-WAVE. That's 1-888-964-W.
FM 100.3 W.